Good morning and hello again. Today, fighting but not fit, Boris Johnson hospitalised over coronavirus. Also, Scotland's chief medical officer resigns. Hospital consultants here say private patients will lose continuity of care as state takes over hospitals. Where's our promised childcare? Ask nurses. How new GP staffed hubs will operate. Also, preparing for the surge as tests are ramped up. Faces masked or unmasked. The debate continues. Brian O'Connell reports from Garda checkpoints. Nicola Tallant on the Belfast killing of a key player in the Drogheda feud. And David Coleman answers your parenting queries. Email today todayasor@rte.ie. Text us on 51551. And you can also tweet at todayasor. Well, as we've been hearing, Boris Johnson is in hospital this morning after being diagnosed with COVID-19 all of 10 days ago. Downing Street emphasising last night that Johnson had been taken to an NHS hospital in London after days of persistent symptoms, including a fever, stressing he was undergoing tests as a precautionary measure. On the line now, the Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror, Kevin Maguire. Kevin, what exactly do we know about the Prime Minister's health? He's been very slow to shake this off, obviously.
He has, Sean, and of course his partner, Carrie Symons, who's pregnant, also has symptoms, though seem to be milder than him. The health secretary had it for a week. His chief advisor, Dominic Cummings, is at home with the symptoms, the chief medical officer too. He looked dreadful in a video he released midweek, and ministers were talking about how he needed a rest, he needed to stop trying to run the government because he wasn't as well as Downing Street said. Now, doctors do not advise people to go to hospital at the moment unless they're pretty poorly. So he spent the night, he's having tests, we're told he was given oxygen, he was driven there, didn't go in an ambulance, but he isn't as well as they say. And I know the line now, Robert Jenrick, was one of the cabinet ministers, was using it today, that he's still in charge. I don't think he's in charge in any meaningful way. Dominic Raab, who is the Foreign Secretary, his effective deputy as First Secretary of State, took the COBRA meeting today. But, of course, the health of a politician is normally a private issue, but in a crisis like this, it's very public, because I suspect there could be no change in the government's strategy, either on the economy or health or the lockdown, tightening or loosening restrictions, when the Prime Minister is incapacitated in this way.
I'm looking at the lead story in the Telegraph today. It's a paper that's usually very friendly to Boris Johnson, but they're quoting an unnamed Tory MP saying he should stop trying to be to copy Winston Churchill's leadership during the Second World War. Unfortunately, he has written too many books on Churchill and wants to be the guy. He needs to be Boris Johnson and not try to be somebody else.
Yeah, well, he needs to be fit and healthy, any leader does. And if that requires you to take a break, even at a crucial time like this, you need to take the break. It's a little unkind, I think, that he does model himself on Winston Churchill. Of course, let's hope it's not the Winston Churchill of 1953, who was back in government and had a stroke and it was covered up at the time. I think that's a bit harsh. But the sentiment expressed is really, if he is unwell, he should step back for a period of time. That's what he needs to do. Then you can get better, you recover, and then you can come back. But he's clearly, because he realises this is the defining moment of his premiership. It's a pivotal moment in the history of the United Kingdom, as it is this virus in so many other countries. And so, he'll just want to try and fight the illness in himself. But in fact, it's clearly much more serious than either one they diagnosed initially or two they told us publicly.
Yeah, just a month ago on March the 3rd, over a month ago now to be exact, here's what Boris Johnson told a news conference about another recent hospital visit he'd made.
I was at a hospital the other night where I think there were actually a few coronavirus patients, and I shook hands with everybody, you'll be pleased to know, and I continue to shake hands, and our judgment is washing your hands is the crucial thing.
So I suppose there, Kevin, you have it in a nutshell, how maybe the lack of seriousness with which the British, not alone, I mean, the same thing happened in the United States, the government actually went about preparing for coronavirus.
Yeah, it wasn't actually true that there were any coronavirus patients in that hospital. He has Boris Johnson a loose relationship with the truth at times, but it's amazing. You just go back to then, Sean, and that was when it was all relax, everything's under control, nothing will happen. Wash your hands, and you'll be okay. You don't have to change the way you live. Now that's been turned completely on its head, and we've had the biggest changes in how we live since 1945 and the end of the Second World War here in the United Kingdom. But he did, he took a rather blasé approach then, and he was criticised for it because, of course, they didn't order the testing equipment for NHS workers and others. They didn't order the protective clothing for the NHS workers. They didn't order ventilators for hospitals soon enough. And he was pushed into taking more strident action by a report which came out with a lot of deaths. But Downing Street has been a real coronavirus hotspot now. Of course, they've been working. Now, they could be unlucky, or it may be the case they didn't practice what they preached on having 2 metres between you and somebody else.
I suspect, Kevin, you're no royalist yourself, but prime ministers come and go. Sometimes they fall down with coronavirus or other ailments. But one woman seems to be able to go on forever now, I think, in her sixth decade of monarchy. And Queen Elizabeth steadying the nation's nerves last night with that address.
Some of the nation. You're quite right. I'm no royalist. I don't bend the knee. But she made that broadcast, which of course will have been approved by Downing Street. We know it's incredibly tough, and there's more pain to come. But we'll get through, and we'll meet again. Echoing Vera Lynn, the viewing figures for it are pretty high. Not quite as high as for the Prime Minister's own address when he announced the lockdown just over 2 weeks ago, but pretty high. And of course, she has been a constant feature, longest serving monarch in the history of the UK. I think, was it 52? So that would be 68 years.
Sorry, seventh decade in that case. I mean, almost into her eighth. I should have, I must correct that.
Look, tower.
Stay with us. Stay with us, Kevin, if you would, because north of the border there, there's big news overnight. Chris McCall of The Scotsman is on the line. Morning, Chris. A high profile political stroke medical casualty overnight, with the chief medical officer, Catherine Calderwood, falling on her sword. Tell us the circumstances.
Yes, good morning, Sean. This really was quite shocking story that has caused quite a lot of public anger in Scotland, and I think probably across the rest of the UK, because this was a story that was leading the bulletins in London as well as in Edinburgh. So Catherine Calderwood, she's become quite a familiar and reassuring figure in Scottish public life in recent weeks. She's been appearing daily alongside the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, when they've been giving live updates to Scotland on the numbers of people with coronavirus in terms of testing and in terms of deaths. She's also been appearing as the public face of the Scottish Government and the NHS of Scotland's public health campaign, telling Scots to stay at home, to stay home, stay safe. They're really emphasising the stay home message. So when Scots woke up yesterday to see the news that they'd been broken by the Scottish edition of the Sun newspaper that Dr. Calderwood had been visiting her second home, holiday home effectively, over in Fife, just an hour's drive from Edinburgh. She'd been photographed out and about in a small village, kind of, you know, walking her dog, like, you know, obviously kind of taking it in as usual. It really caused quite a lot of anger, kind of undermining her message to stay at home, you could say.
Do as I say, not as I do. She was caught out in that fashion, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the crux of it came down to that, you know, journalists were asking the First Minister at our briefing yesterday. She said, you know, right now we have adverts on television where Dr. Calderwood is saying stay at home, and now we see that Dr. Calderwood hasn't been following her own advice. I mean, it really did undermine sort of confidence in that. And I think really that's probably, you know, what has cost her her job, is that, you know, at a time like this, you know, we need to have faith in our institutions. We need to follow what the NHS and medical experts are telling us. Yeah. And if we don't trust those experts, then they can't really be in position.
She didn't resign straight away, though. I mean, it looked like she was trying to settle for an apology and then keep going.
Yes, I mean, the early indications yesterday morning were that she admitted she'd made a mistake, she'd apologised, but that she had a job to do. And the press conference that she gave alongside the First Minister yesterday, it did seem that the First Minister was backing her. You know, Nicola Sturgeon again, she'd said, oh, she's made a mistake, but we're going to carry on with this. But by the end of the day, and it was quite late, this was 10 o'clock, that the news broke that Dr. Calderwood would, after all, be standing down. And I think that the Scottish Government had re-looked at the situation. And particularly, Dr Calderwood had revealed at yesterday's press conference that her trip back to Fife was actually not the first time she's done that under lockdown. She'd visited the previous weekend as well. So there was a pattern there, and some were wondering, you know, if this story had not broken yesterday, would Dr Calderwood have carried on visiting her second home? So I think the optics of that, you know, were just really, really dismal for all concerned. And it came out last night that she would be quitting, and her deputy is now taking over in the interim.
Yeah, Kevin Maguire in London. Where does all of this leave the British government's fight against the coronavirus? I mean, we see Matt Hancock, the health secretary, coming under some pressure also in relation to testing. And then there seems to be a little bit of jockeying or needle between Michael Gove and Dominic Raab as to who would be primus inter pares if Boris Johnson is stepping back.
Yeah, that's very true, the infighting. Very, very true. And also between Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, and Matt Hancock, the Health Secretary, over how long restrictions remain in place, because they're very expensive. But the government is in a little spot of bother now, and the health and economic crises are becoming a political problem, because all of a sudden you can see public confidence in the government's handling of the crisis is beginning to fall. It hasn't gone under 50% yet, but it's not at the incredibly high levels it was before. And I think Boris Johnson having to temporarily leave the field is going to create a problem too, because there will be a vacuum, and no big decisions, I believe, can be taken while he isn't at the helm.
Meanwhile, the smoke has cleared. There's a new leader of the Labour Party, Sir Keir Starmer, who is welcomed, it seems, right across the party spectrum. Now, he said he's not going to play politics. He's going to cooperate with the government. But at the same time, his arrival to replace Jeremy Corbyn will concentrate minds, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a formidable opponent. He's a serious man and a serious job and a serious time. He's a former director of public prosecutions. He's got a laser-like mind and focus, and he's been spending the last few weeks speaking to every expert on coronavirus he could find, every scrap of information. He'll be right across the kind of medicine, the politics of the lockdown, the economics, issues around ventilators, face masks, tests. And he said he'll be a constructive opposition, but he's also said serious mistakes were made, and he'll focus those questions. If he's seen to play party politics, he'll be in trouble. But I think we're in a period where accountability and scrutiny is not only important in a democracy and, you know, the politics itself, but it also gets results and puts pressure on the government to move. I think the government, which has had a very much of a free ride since December's thumping election win, will now find that it'll be held to account to a much greater degree.
Okay, look, thank you both indeed for joining me. That's Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror there, and also my thanks to Chris McCall of The Scotsman. By the way, David Coleman, in our second hour, he will be joining us. He's clinical child psychologist, to take your queries as our social restrictions continue and the Easter holidays begin, although you wouldn't really notice that at the moment. We all have lots of questions about parenting, so send them in by text on 51551 or email us on todaysor@rte.ie. That's David Coleman, clinical child psychologist, with your questions. We'll take a break.